The New Testament reading for this morning comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And it reads, "Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Judeans. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.' Jesus answered him, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the chosen one. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the chosen one be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." There ends the scripture reading. As many of you know, I sometimes like to retell biblical stories in a contemporary setting. What follows is a Toastmaster speech by a fictional character. As the character tells this story, you might think about who in the story represents Nicodemus, who represents Jesus, who represents the risen Christ, and who or what represents the Holy Spirit. Madam Toastmaster, fellow Toastmasters, and honored guests. For those of you who are new to our club, I'm Nick Parsons. Say hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Some say I'm a spiritual guy. And after all, I am pastor of a church, so I guess that might count for something. In fact, up until sometime this past year, I thought I was an expert in all things spiritual. I thought I had a PhD in things of the Spirit. After all, I read the Bible every day. I preached on Sunday. I taught Bible study on Tuesday mornings. I just thought I knew it all. I was reading about faith and religion. I just, complete expert, I thought. Until I met a man named Junior Collins. It all began one day when my wife Maggie came home from work. And she brought with her this invitation to a party. And across the top, in bright red, fancy lettering, it said, "Awaken the Dragon." I didn't know what that all meant. But I did know that I had to pick up some spring rolls to bring to the party. So Friday after work, I go to the House of Beijing and I pick up a couple dozen spring rolls. Then I drive home, I get Maggie, and then we drive to the party. And as we're driving to the party, Maggie tells me what the party is all about. Maggie tells me that this is a party to kick off the training season for a dragon boat racing team called the Spirit Dragon. Inwardly, I groan. Because I can just imagine a whole evening of making small talk with people about something I know nothing about, which is dragon boat racing. But Maggie assures me that I'll enjoy myself. After all, there are a bunch of social workers, and I like social workers, right? Maggie's a social worker, so I guess, you know, I can't argue with that. But secretly, I think to myself, oh, this doesn't sound like fun. So we get to the party, and it pretty much goes as expected. In order to give myself something to do, I hang out over by the snack table. I pretty much eat all of the spring rolls by myself. Occasionally, I chit-chat with somebody, and they gush on and on about how great dragon boat racing is. Well, Maggie has other ideas. She wants me to have a good time, and so she says, "Hey, there's Junior. You'll really like Junior. He's a spiritual guy. He is the drummer for the boat." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So in order to have something to say, I say, "Well, Junior, what does it mean to be the drummer?" Junior proceeds to give me Dragon Boat Racing 101. He tells me that a dragon boat team consists of 22 members. 20 of them are paddlers. One of them is called the sweep. And that's the person at the back of the boat who steers the boat. Then in the front of the boat, there is the drummer. And the drummer bangs out a rhythm to which all of the paddlers keep pace. They all stick their paddles in the water and take them out all at the same time. And they do that with the help of the drummer. I remember Junior says, "The drummer is the heartbeat of the boat." Well, I'm still not really all that interested in dragon boat racing, but out of politeness, I want to keep the conversation going. So I say, "Junior, you know, all night I've been hearing people talk about how great dragon boat racing is. Can you tell me, what is it that makes it so amazing?" So Junior proceeds to tell me this. He says, "First thing you have to know is that dragon boat racing is different than most other sports like basketball and football because there's no star players, right? You can't say, 'Oh, we won because of John. John really pulled us through.' In dragon boat racing, there are no standout individuals. There's only a standout team." So I said, "Okay, I still don't see what's so great about dragon boat racing. And wouldn't you be helped out if you had like a Michael Jordan who could draw some attention to the sport, make it a little more popular?" He says, "Oh, no, you're missing the point. Although we do have our inspiring figure, Chu Yan, he's dead now. I'll tell you about him later. But let me put it to you this way. Tomorrow is the first practice of the season. We're going to wake up bright and early. We're going to head down to the river for our first practice. And you've heard of baptism by fire. Well, for us, it's baptism first by water. We just jump right in there, and you know what? It's a complete mess. Everybody is paddling offbeat. Everybody's out of sync. Everybody's putting their paddles in the water at the wrong time. It's just awful. And to make matters worse, everybody is out of shape. They can't even paddle 500 meters without just completely peeling over. But you know what? Things change. And you know why they change? It's because we then get baptized in the Spirit. And let me tell you how that happens. First, we all encourage each other and we all support each other and we help out the newcomers. We help them learn how to paddle. And the veterans, they play a role in that. They help us learn what we need to know. The second thing is we start to get into shape. We start, over the course of 40 days, you'll just see a remarkable turnaround. We start giving up all those fatty foods. And we start eating healthy. We start jogging and weightlifting together. The third thing that we do is we all come together as a team. We begin to act as one body. We begin to live and breathe as one body. And pretty soon we're all putting our paddles in the water at the same time and taking them out of the water at the same time. And it's just amazing. There'll come a time later in the season when we'll push off from shore. The waters will be calm, the sky will be blue, we'll get halfway across the river, and we'll realize that we've paddled all that way in complete rhythm, in sync with the drum. And if it's a really nice day, we'll feel the wind at our backs. And I tell you, that is a spiritual experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? I had to admit, I kind of did understand what he was saying. After all, as a pastor, I knew how hard it is to bring people together, to be one body, all paddling to the beat of a drummer. I understood how hard it would be, and I knew how great it can be to have that feeling of the wind at your back. When everybody comes together for a common mission and a common goal. So I said, I didn't know what to say, so I said, yeah, I mean, I almost feel like joining a Dragon Boat racing team myself. To which Junior responds, great, because we have an opening. Can you be there tomorrow morning? I'm a little taken aback. So I look at Maggie, and Maggie's smiling and nodding her head. So I smile and nod my head, yes. Oh. The next day, I practice for the first time, and I know you've heard people say that they discover muscles they never knew they had, but I discovered that the older you get, the more painful it is to discover those muscles. Oh. I felt like quitting after the first practice. But I stuck with it. I stuck with it because Maggie insisted that I stick with it, and I stuck with it because I had a team supporting me, cheering me on, and encouraging me, and teaching me everything I need to know. Slowly, I got into shape. Slowly, I learned how to even paddle to the beat of Junior's drum. Eventually, we get to the end of the season. It's the day of the big race. And so our whole team gets together for a breakfast full of carbohydrates. And I'm sitting next to Junior. And I say, Junior, you never told me about that Chu Yan fellow. He said, oh, yes, you have to know about Chu Yan. He's very important. We all know about him. And he says, Chu Yan, he lived about over 2,000 years ago. He was a great poet in China, and he lived in the time of the Great Wars when there's lots of violence and there's lots of suffering. And he had a real way with words and powerful communicator. Well, the king didn't like it because he became a thorn in the side of the king. And so the king sends him off into exile. And in exile, he writes the most beautiful poetry about heaven and about earth. Just wonderful. People still read it to this day. But then something sad happened. Chu Yan drowns in a great big lake. And all of the villagers surrounding the lake, they rush to the lake and they get in their boats and they paddle out and they're pounding on their drums. And they're pounding their paddles against the water to scare away the fish and to scare away the evil spirits so they won't eat Chu Yan. They even start to scatter rice into the lake so that the fish will eat the rice and maybe some of it will even get to Chu Yan and he'll be able to live. Well, a few days later, Chu Yan comes back from the dead and he appears before his friends. And he says, thank you for scattering that rice, but I'm not getting it because there's a giant dragon that's eating it before I can get to the rice. And so he said, this is what you need to do in order for me to get the rice. You have to put the rice into a silk triangle. Then I'll get it. So then Junior says, to this day, every year, there are dragon boat festivals around the world to remember Chu Yan. And on that day, we still eat sticky rice wrapped in triangles. The only difference is it's no longer wrapped in silk, it's wrapped in banana leaves. I tell you, it's really good. You should have some today. He says, you see why it's so inspiring? I had to admit, I can understand as a pastor, I understood the power of someone being resurrected from the dead. And even though I didn't know what beliefs or thoughts Chu Yan might have had, I felt like he was a kindred spirit. So that day I knew I would paddle my heart out. I would do it because my team had given me strength. I would do it because Maggie was cheering me on. I would do it because of the satisfaction of being part of something bigger than just me. And I would do it because the spirit of Chu Yan still lives. That night we celebrated and we had a big party, not because we had won, but because we had awakened the spirit of the dragon. Amen.